Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Ireland could risk a resurgence of COVID-19 if we were to rush to lift ourselves out of lockdown. And that is according to public health physician Dr. Gabriel Skelly. He said it would be a tragedy having gone through everything we've gone through, losing relatives and friends and the hardship of people losing jobs and businesses having real difficulties, if that was to flare up again, adding that there should be no return to normal life here in Ireland before COVID-19 figures are down to zero cases. Here he is chatting to Andrea Gilligan this morning on News Talk Breakfast. Have a listen to this.
I think waiting and seeing what it looks like in phase two would be a very wise thing to do.
Okay, error on the side of caution.
Oh, absolutely, because it's such a dangerous virus.
Okay.
And we don't want to undo everything that's been done so far.
Okay, so what do you think of that? Do we need more cautious? It seems to me the conversation of the day in Ireland is all about lockdown. Should we move quicker? Should we move slower? What should we do? And there seems to me to be a great deal of difference in opinions out there. And I would like to know how you feel about it. 53106 is the text line. And Gail is on the line. Gail, despite the comments from Dr. Scally there, would you like to see things reopen more quickly?
Absolutely. Hi, Kira.
How
Thanks
are you?
For having me on.
Not
it's
at
lovely.
All.
I admire your show. It's great.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, this is all we are getting more asked of us. And I don't think they are aware of the effect on mental health, on children and people's situations and lives. It's just the ask is too much and we're coming out of it too slow. Considering where we are in Europe, look at Italy, look at Spain. I know they're bigger countries, but look at what's happened there. And yet, they've got a plan. They're opening. I'm not suggesting that we race, but it's too slow. It's too much. I have a child with autism. He's at home now nearly 3 months. He had no warning, like everybody, but he couldn't process that.
Yeah.
He can't read. He can't write. He's full care needs. And I'm in lockdown with him.
Okay.
And it's destroying him.
Okay.
I have a little bit of help. I had to fight to get that. But there's nowhere to send him, there's nothing to do, and it's the most crucial time of his life. And my arguing point is, he would have been in a school where there were four in his class, and an SNA. So social distancing could have been practiced.
Okay, so
stage in the game. Not at the beginning,
because
but
he had special needs. Does that make you upset, Gail, that you are somebody who has a child with special needs who was in a situation that probably could have been managed in a way that, you know, with masks and social, maybe masks would have been tricky for
your
son. That
would have been tricky, yeah.
Yeah, now that I think about it. But that social distancing could have been managed for your son and your son could have been kept in education and indeed in the kind of structure that he needs. But
yes, absolutely.
The baby
I
was kind of thrown
out
with the bathwater in that sense.
I think it was too much. I mean, they must have known, government must have known this was coming. They could have given us more warning and time to prep kids like this for change. Because this was drastic and detrimental. And I'm speaking from a point of having spent a lot of this child's life at home with him before due to lack of education, appropriate education for him. So I know what it means. I've spent months indoors with my son, unable to leave the house before. But this is a crucial time in a lot of kids' lives.
Yeah.
Regular kids, I feel, I walked through the park last night on my walk. Regular kids are all out, not practicing social distancing. They're on top of each other. They've nothing to do. They're straining at the bit. And, you know, what are they to do?
I think you're right.
They're
because
I
also walk around outdoors and
yeah.
I'm on, you know, I live by the coast, so I'm on
yeah.
the seafront and I'm on the beach and places
yeah.
like that. And I do see
yeah.
large groups of kids. And you know what's interesting with that, Gail, is you're right. They're not social distancing and they are all together. But the cases aren't climbing.
Yeah, no, they're not climbing, exactly. I feel we have to learn to live along beside this. I'm really sad for the deaths and the people and the families and lives that are lost. Absolutely horrific. But that was 3 months ago when we hit this, and we all did what we were told and asked of us. But I'm really angry
yeah,
that it was 2 weeks, it was 3 weeks, it was 3 weeks. We've been treated like bold children. I mean, this is, you know, it's freedom. Are we being dictated to and told what to do? And I feel they're overcautious. And now I'm shocked listening to that gentleman this morning, and you just did the bit there, and I've read up on it, suggesting that we now have to worry about England. I'm sorry. we're not carrying the burden of their weight. And if the country wants to come at this angle from it, when this broke out, when we got the two busloads of children home from their ski holidays and there was the first hint of this, we should have closed our airports and not ask people to isolate, to force them to isolate.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And now they're doing things backwards.
The travel restrictions were timed. They may not be as necessary now, but they were definitely necessary then when they weren't in place. I suppose Dr. Gabriel Scally, in fairness to them, is a British public health doctor. So he is Anglo-centric in his view, perhaps, should we say.
Of course he is. You know, he's a vested interest. But like what I'm saying is everybody has an interest. Everybody has a perspective. Yeah. Everybody has a different story.
This is very hard.
We've got to have balance and we're lacking.
This is very hard on your young lad anyway.
I worry because this was his last year in school. He's had hardly any school in his life. But this was his last year in a special school. So, for example, this year for him, he couldn't do a leaving cert, unfortunately, to my heart. Breaking.
Yeah.
But this would have been his final month to plan for transition to an adult service.
Okay.
Now he's lost his little network, his people disappeared overnight on it.
Yeah. He's missed out on very important
structure. He has no idea. There is no way to explain that to him. He sees me watching the news since the beginning, day and night, on everything. Like a lot of the children in this country and adults, we have been scared with everything that's been put at us. We've just been scaremongered into everything.
In fairness, we all know how to wash our hands. In the beginning, we were scared, though.
Yeah.
Gail, because we saw Italy. We saw Italy's ICUs were overrun. Spain ICUs were overrun. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, they're coming out of lockdown quicker than us, but they did lose control of it. And we happily didn't lose control of it. So maybe we got some things right.
And we did. We did. We got a lot right. But the point is, we're now overly cautious. And people, listen, if there's people who don't want their children in school or don't want to go back to work, that's your decision. If you don't feel safe and you don't feel okay for that, you stay home. Stay home. But my feeling on this is, like a lot of pensioners and other people, and I'm not a pensioner, but I'm just saying my feeling on this is, I want to live the life I have left. I want my son to live his life, not to be locked up. He will resort to self-harming. And at the moment, because he has no structure in his days, I have to sit and mind my son on a team basis on my own to keep him safe.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing for him to do. That is detrimental to our health, to my mental health, to his mental health.
I can only imagine, where's the care for the people who
are going to have issues out of this? Like, I sat here this weekend and I just thought, I can't take any more of this.
I know.
This is too much.
I do understand that, Gail, and I do understand that non-COVID related issues like autism or special needs or other types of health problems.
Or getting your breast checked.
Yeah, no,
which
I know.
I'm due. You know, all of those things that us women need are all on hold. You've private health care. You've no access to it.
I know. No, it's been ransacked.
You're just left to sit there. And what is the avalanche that is going to come out of this? After, we can't wait till this is extinguished or is a vaccination. That's impossible.
Well, the vaccination could be years away.
That's unrealistic and not possible.
Probably we've
got to learn to live beside it. We are great. You see the queues at Woody's and Tesco's and everything. We are great at washing our hands, doing whatever we have to do, and we've done it very, very well. Look at the figures. Look where they are.
I do take on board what you're saying.
We have not had balance as a result of that. Thank you for that, Gail.
No, thank you for that sincerely. 53106 is the text, and we're talking about lockdown. Gabriel Scally has cautioned a hasty exit, or not even hasty is the wrong word, but it has cautioned an exit from lockdown without us being down to zero cases. A lot of public health doctors looking for the crushing the curve, never mind flattening the curve, but the crushing the curve and the elimination strategy. Not sure how it works in an EU member state who has a common travel area with the UK. Not sure that is. They've seen it in New Zealand, but I'm not sure that it actually is transferable here. What do you think? 53106. And are you indeed struggling to contain your own issues during lockdown, be they mental health or other health issues, or your child with special needs and all of that? There is a balance that needs to be struck for people's lives, for sure there is. And Donal is on the line in Naas. Donal, do you agree with Dr. Gabriel Scally? Tell me about that.
I certainly do, Ciara. My health is very important to me. It's important to my family. It's very important to our frontline workers, and I think especially of those. They're doing fantastic work. They are putting their lives in danger to keep us safe. So I keep active myself. I find that a lot of people don't obey social distancing. I'm the person to social distance in most cases. I've told your researcher that I'm due a very important birthday in 3 months' time.
Are you? Do you want to tell me what it is?
As long as you don't tell anybody
else. I know, we won't say a word.
I'll be 80 in 3 months' time.
Fair play to you.
And I keep active by walking. I'm a long-distance walker.
Oh, good on you.
And as I've said, when I'm walking around Naas, I'm the one to have to walk out on the road or climb embankments and that to let couples and groups go by. And they don't take it seriously enough, but I take it seriously. And I want to remain healthy.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
When I reach 80, it's just a line on my map. It's not the finishing line. I have lots of things to do after that, and I just want to reach it.
I have no doubt you do, and I'm delighted to hear that, Donald. Donald, what about the people who say, and there is some data emerging to support this view, that lockdown isn't what's saving us from COVID-19. What's saving us is hand washing and social distancing and those types of things. So actually having the shops closed makes no odds, or having the beaches closed makes no odds. It's just about wherever we go, us observing certain behaviours, that's what saves us. So people being all out and about, walking around outdoors where it's very hard to catch the virus in nice weather like this, that doesn't make much odds.
Well, social distancing certainly does. And,
yeah, no, it does.
But people don't get social distancing. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm nearly 80 years of age, and people will watch me walking out on the road while they walk along in pairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sometimes at the last moment, I think they will go into a single file, but not very often.
Okay.
So I basically don't trust people to social distance.
Okay. No, okay. Fair enough. Look, yeah. I wish you well. I wish you well, Donald, and good luck with the birthday. And I hope you stay in good health going forward. Thank you for that indeed. John is on the line as well in Wicklow. John, what are your thoughts on Dr. Scally's comments?
Thank you.
How's it going?
Well, listen, I suppose at the end of the day, I'm in two minds about this. At the end of the day, like, we're just going to have to get on with it, and people are going to have to go back to work. Now, I agree with a certain amount of social isolation for certain groups of people with, you know, that are immune compromised or a certain age. Like, that's essential. But, like, if you're young and healthy, you know, you may just get on with it and crack on. There's risk in life every day. We face risk. I'll be handing two stallions now in later on today, and sure, like, they could kill me. You know what I mean? There's risk. No matter what you do in life, there's a certain amount of risk. If you ask a woman out on a date, there's a risk.
That's a significant. That might be a bigger risk than the stallions.
It can. Yeah, they certainly can kick hard.
Jesus.
But absolutely, and I think the government has done good work up to a point. But, you know, and you know, I can. We didn't know how we were dealing with.
No, and in fairness to the government, we didn't know what we were dealing with, and we had seen horrific scenes in Italy and in Spain, and we had seen, you know, COVID coming for countries and coming for countries' health services in a way that I think frightened all of us. Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't believe we've heard the full story of Wuhan and China. You know,
I don't actually either. I agree with you.
Time that like that'll unfold. I believe there's a serious amount of deaths over there.
I think the information we got out of China is probably very managed, shall we say.
That's the best way of putting it here.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But for you going forward, do you feel it's time to to do what? To move on? To get out of it? Or do you think, no, just you know, I've noticed the messaging coming from government has changed from stay safe, stay home or whatever to hold firm. I think they know people are chomping at the bit to get back out there.
That's the thing. Like people are it's funny now. I know like you go into a supermarket say on a for example last week on a Thursday and like everyone was up the walls and social distancing, and like, I was in the same place then on Saturday and like everyone was falling over one, like nobody was paying any attention.
Yeah.
And now whether that, you know, people like it will wear off after a while.
The social, like, the commitment to social distancing.
It will naturally enough. It's going to, and you know, the whole culture has literally changed. The pub culture, and you know, you can talk about her relationship with alcohol or whatever. You can still buy it in off license anyway. But you have to think of mental health. Yeah, like there's so much to consider here.
And you know what? You're exactly right. There is a huge picture, not just a big picture. There's a huge picture to be considered, and. I think rightly we were very focused on one aspect of that picture, which was COVID, and I think many things that were brought in did protect us, did save lives, did all of those good things.
Yes.
And now we have to look at how we fit that into the big picture now, and I think that's what we're trying to do. And
we could have a rise in cancer, you know, in cases like
I
some
think
people.
That is the worry. That is absolutely the
you
worry.
You know, we're going to be looking at another maybe. Potential tribunal or a scandal in a couple of years, you know, in a year's time.
Well, I think there is a difficulty with things like breast check having stopped because, you know, the numbers of cancers picked up on breast check, they aren't through the roof, but for every 1,000 mammograms, they pick up 7 cancers is the statistic. But for every 1,000 that they miss around the country, every week and that goes forward. So we're missing 7 cancers and then another 7 and another 7. And those are often young women, you know. So it is with families and all of that. So no, you're right.
Yeah.
But it is how to navigate, I suppose, all of this. And look, look, thank you, John. Thank you for speaking to me there. That's John Wicklow. And Christoph is on the line in Westmeath. Christoph, do you think we're rushing out of lockdown? What do you think we need to be more cautious, is it?
Yes, we definitely need to be very cautious still. This is actually the critical point, you know, when the going gets stopped for people because the disruptions are piling up, you know, to people's lives, to work, to parenting, to childcare, to the economy in general. And so those disruptions are marking people's lives more and more, and they may be in danger of losing perspective. It is very important that, yes, we still be very cautious, absolutely.
This is a shot in the dark, Christoph. Are you from France?
I am indeed.
You are indeed from from La Belle France.
Absolutely.
France was hit hard as well and has sadly and tragically lost many, many lives. But they are a little bit ahead of us on exiting lockdown. Do you think we're getting it more right than them, or are they getting it more right than us?
Oof, I couldn't tell you, to be honest. And I don't think we should really try to compare. Every country has had a different curve, you could say, different situation. You know, we have the advantage that being an island, we can reasonably look at a situation just, you know, about ourselves. The other point I wanted to make is that we have to keep in mind that it's all very well, in any group of people, there will always be a small amount of people who are not going to abide by the rules and abuse the system or, you know, all these kind of things. So the moment we start lifting restrictions a little, there will be a small amount of people who are going to take advantage of that. So we must be, it's like everything else, we must think worst-case scenario, all right? And we must be ready for that. And so some people would be too happy to just flood public places the moment there's any sign of liftoff, even if it's partial. I have a friend who lives, it's incredible, I have a friend who lives in Cantilitrim in the countryside, and he went for a walk around midnight the other day, and there was a house party going down in his neighborhood.
Okay. Indoors, not an outdoorsy thing, indoors a house party.
I gather indoors, yes, but more people, not just the people living there, you know, an actual big house party. there are always people who are going to ignore or abuse the or, you know, take advantage. Yeah. Also people, yes, people are finding it hard, and as I was saying, they might be losing perspective, and the difficulties in their mind, in their lives, become the prime focus, like people wondering are the skills, the schools and their kids and all these things. But at the end of the day, it's the harsh truth, and it's a bit blunt, but all those disruptions can disappear and will disappear, and things will get back to normal, maybe not exactly the way it was, but everything can be rebuilt to a certain extent.
The one thing that
is impossible to get back is your life if you lose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's a point of no return. So we can't joke with these things and be too careless about it.
I don't think anyone is, but thank you for that, Christoph. I don't think anyone is joking, but I do think that there is a lot of people who are coming at this from different angles now, and that may well be okay. 53106 is the text line. We're talking about lockdown. Gabriel Scally said it would be a tragedy if we were to kind of rush out of exit of lockdown too quickly, and indeed said we should be aiming for zero cases here. Pat's on the line in Kildare. Pat, what do you make of all of this?
Hi, Ciara. Why I was ringing up is I wanted to support the lady at the start of the programme, Gail, who has the child with autism. I've got two children with autism, and they're out of school at the moment too.
Yeah.
And I think these kids need to be made essential in the move out of lockdown to get these children back into school as quickly as possible. They are definitely regressing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, we've got a July provision that's provided to the kids because it would be deemed too long for them to be out of school during normal summer break. And that would reduce it down to them having about
your kids
4 weeks to 6 weeks out of school.
Your kids attend school for longer than other kids. I didn't know that, but they do. Okay, because of their special needs, but now they're out of it for a huge period of time. That's very difficult.
Yeah, children with autism get the opportunity of July provision, which will extend it by 2 to 4 weeks,
the
school environment for the children. And that reduces their time. They're still in school, they're still in the school environment, an education, a learning environment, and it gives them structure because it's required, it's needed, and these kids, it's too long of a summer break for them in general terms. And now we're looking at 6 months. 6 months is just way too long for these children out of school, way too long. And something needs to be done to get them back into school.
Before I leave you go, Pat, do you think that we didn't take into account, I mean, obviously we moved very quickly. I mean, the announcement was made on the 12th of March, schools are closing, and we weren't given warning. It was like they're closing today. So they won't be going, your kids won't be going to school tomorrow. And you know, so it was as speedy as that. There was a lot of talk that it was going to be announced on the Friday for the Monday and all sorts of things. But actually it all happened quicker than that. And do you think that perhaps thought or provision wasn't put in place for, you know, Gail pointed out that her son was in a class with four kids, and presumably that class could have maybe taken place if needs be in this glorious weather and all outdoors or anything you liked. And so those kids could have probably been accommodated, but that the kind of level of thought wasn't put in there.
Absolutely. I think they just closed the schools. Autism classes are usually generally six maximum kids in a class. So I think even when we go back to school and schools aren't opened back up and the minister opens it up in September, school needs to return to normal for these kids. And I think if we've still got social distancing in place, it can happen for those kids, although they're going to find it difficult. And it's going to be difficult for these kids when they go back because behavioural issues will arise.
So lockdown, in other words, has been extremely hard on this particular group of kids. And you'd say that as a parent, and Gail would agree with you.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that they don't get further excluded because they're going to have behaviours after being so long out of school when they go back into school that your parents will be asked, you know, saying we can't cope in the current environment with these kids with some behavioural issues that they have, and we can't cope with them in the class. I sincerely hope that doesn't happen. And if you look at the principals, I can't remember what the group is for the principals of Ireland, primary school principals, they put forward a document of proposals, and one of those was that they wanted to have the ability to reassign special needs teachers. So teachers who are with special needs class at the moment are remain with that class. They're never moved around to other classes within the school. But part of their reopening is, under the new scheme, is that they want to be able to move those and use them elsewhere in the school to facilitate further opening. And I don't think that should be the case.
All right. Look, thank you.
These kids need structure.
Yeah, no,
That should be a non-starter. It shouldn't be on the agenda at all.
I completely get what you're saying, and it sounds entirely reasonable. And look, thank you for coming on and speaking to me, Pat. That's Pat on the line there from Kildare. Kira, we are a 56 and a 60-year-old. One of us has a neurological condition, so we're being very careful. However, we also live with an adult son with addiction issues, so I'm not sure how much longer we can lock down even within 20k. We are tempted to rent a house and just go from here to there with no need to shop or stop on the way. I think people need to get back to work, children need to get back to school, and we older people can be responsible for our health and continue being careful. I can't come on the phone, but this is all very difficult. Yeah, you know, if one of the reasons we're talking about it is on various individuals, what we're going through is extremely challenging and extremely difficult, and our thoughts are with everybody. 53106.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
And indeed, I think we will be talking more about the road out of lockdown, because that is, of course, the story of our times at the moment, about how quick or how slow we should move from where we are to some kind of a normality again, although who knows what kind of a normality it will be. A really good email has come in. Thank you for this. It says, hi, Kira. I heard Dr. Scally talking about taking it slow, and I know the concerns re the economy and mental health and people cracking up because their personal lives have become beyond difficult. And these are tough decisions that need to be made and should be made. However, I'm coming at this from another angle. As the mother of a junior doctor who has been working in an ICU where there are patients with COVID-19, he's putting his life, and consequently my life and his fiance's life, at risk every day when he comes home from work. We have done our best to minimise the risk to ourselves. We've gone through bottles and bottles of bleach. Our electricity bills are sky high from the clothes washing and the ourselves washing at temperatures that are not even funny. Everything he touches is cleaned with bleach and cloths over 70% alcohol. I'm cocooned and I'm 56, and I won't put anyone else at risk because my son does the job he does, and still I worry. Sure, come out of lockdown sooner, but when the numbers go back up, who will be asked to look after those very sick patients again? Are the people screaming to come out of lockdown sooner going to go into the ICUs? And if the numbers go back up again, what will that do to the health service and the economy at large? And we are not the only ones slowly coming out of lockdown. My dad is in a nursing home in the Netherlands, and they are going to be allowed one visitor per resident for 1 hour per week. He's 85. I live in Ireland, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to see him again for real, as I will not get on a plane. I love the show, but please don't use my name if you're going to read this out. Yeah, there are loads of people, and fair play to your son, by the way. Big shout out to the frontline workers who are working today, who are in their ICUs and their wards and all of that today, as they are every day, and they never let the side down. They are indeed very heroic in all of this. Huge amounts of burden being carried by many, many families during this time, for sure. And Robert is on the line in Cork. Robert, what is your thoughts? What are your thoughts even on easing restrictions or not?
Definitely keep the restrictions, Kira, for another while. I mean, we all have a lot of effort put into this since March, and why throw it all away now? I wanted to bring it to your attention there about an issue in Lanzarote at the moment. You may not have heard of it, but a gentleman got on a plane from Madrid, and he actually got tested before he flew because a relation of his died. And he just felt maybe, but he was on the plane before he got the results. On the plane, Kira, his sister either texted him or rang him and told him, you have coronavirus.
Okay.
And he's on a plane with 140 people heading for Lanzarote.
Okay.
Now, all those people on the plane then, near him, are obviously, when the plane landed, they were all put into quarantine.
Yeah.
And a whole commotion. So like something like that, Kira, human error can happen.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And it only takes one person. Oh, this is current now, Lanzarote. This only happened yesterday. So it's a serious issue. And if that happens here in this country, all our good work is for nothing.
I think now, whether we were in lockdown or whether we weren't in lockdown, Robert, obviously the guidelines will remain the same, that while COVID-19, a virus that we have no treatment for and no vaccine for, exists, on the planet, that anyone who has any symptoms of anything needs to be very clear with themselves that if you have a cough or a cold or a sore throat or you're feeling flu-y, that kind of feeling, you're supposed to stay away from everybody, irrespective of whether lockdown is up or down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you had it.
I did.
I mean, you know, I can't believe what it must have been like, and fair play to you, got through it.
I did.
But, you know, I certainly wouldn't want it, and, you know...
It wasn't great, to be honest. Other people don't even have symptoms. It has a very wide range of presentations. Some people are very sick, obviously, and some people don't have a symptom at all. So there's, yeah. It's very broad what you can experience from it.
It's scary. You can't see it. And, like, the thing about it is, I think it's, even letting people coming in from the UK, I just think we need to stay in lockdown a bit further.
Do you?
We need to be very careful how we go. I personally, actually, another point I'd like to raise with you there is these restaurants and bars wanting to reduce down to 1 metre.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into any restaurant or bar 1 metre away from somebody at the moment.
Do you mind me asking, Robert, if you don't mind, I hope, how old you are?
60.
Yeah. You see, I totally take your point. You're thinking, I'm not going into a bar that's 1 metre apart. That doesn't feel safe to me. And definitely outdoors is safer than indoors, and crowded places are less safe than empty places and all of that. So we know that. But if you were 20 and you wanted to go into a bar with 1 metre, and you know that the chances are, if you were to catch COVID-19, you'll shake it off fairly handy. Not everyone will, and I know that there are exceptions, but 99% plus probably will. Like, because there are people who are frail and because there are people who are older, does that mean that the young people, for example, who in the main don't get sick, shouldn't have any options to see each other, even though they probably won't get sick even if they get it? That's the real hard question, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, young people are mixing at the moment. I mean, I have a son of 21 and he's got a friend of 22 and they're mixing and they're from two different houses. But we know that...
They're allowed to do that outdoors, though, aren't they?
Yeah. But like, I just think I think it's going to be a changed world. I don't think we're going to get back what we had. I think people are going to have different attitudes. I mean, like, you probably laugh at this, but you're walking down the street now, Ciara, and people are walking away from you.
I know.
You know, as if you have leprosy or something, and people scuttle away to off footpaths to avoid other people. Like, that's not the way the Irish people go about their business.
No, I know. But equally, I go for a walk pretty much every single day, and I see people out and about. And in the beginning, people were like scalded cats leaping away from each other. But now I would suggest that you do see people in groups more than you did, and maybe more than we're supposed to. It seems to me lockdown fatigue is real among large swathes of the community.
I know. And as somebody who had COVID, would you have kind of, you know, would you have come across people avoiding you?
When I first went out, I had a very funny experience. When I first went out, the first day I went out, everyone knew I had it, and everyone in my locality knew I had it, and I stayed in complete quarantine, didn't leave my house for 15 days. So I waited till I was... completely clear of it, and then I still didn't go into shops or anything. I still only went outdoors for a walk on my own, not near anybody. But I did, when I first went out, I kept bumping into people because I live local and I know a lot of people, and a good few people would stop and chat from a distance, from 10 feet or 8 feet or with that, and we'd chat and say hello. But there was one girl, I remember the first day I went out, and she saw me. Well, she nearly tripped over her own feet trying to get to the other side of the road as fast as she could. And I never saw anyone move as fast. And I kind of waved at her, and she kind of said, hello. And she literally pegged it.
Done.
Is what all you could say. And I kind of got it, like, in fairness. I wasn't offended or anything. But yeah, I saw the odd time people... running away from me, which is fine. It was totally fine, and I understand all that. But oh, look, we're in
strange world. But no, I think we've done brilliant, and you know, we've all been, you know, all the frontline workers are excellent, and the guards done a great job. Everyone, I think we have so much time and effort put into this now. It would be a shame to throw it all away. As I said, one person can set us back.
I know.
Cases, one person.
Well, our safety is in each other's hands. There's no two ways about it. Thank you for that, Robert. Thank you for that indeed. An email's come in. Hi, Ciara. Given that the past 2.5 months restrictions have been hard on all the people of Ireland, granted harder on some than on others, could you please ask your callers what alternative safe solutions can they offer? Currently, I hear none. And what level of deaths would be acceptable to them? Do they accept that they may die themselves or one of their loved ones if restrictions are rushed? And as my boss says, bring me your problems, but offer me workable solutions. And that's Kevin, and that's one point of view for sure. And Sarah is on the line too, and the line is 53106. Sarah, what are you worrying about currently?
Hi, Ciara. Love the show. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Agree with Gail, the first caller that you had on. And, you know, for me, I'm finding it so, so difficult. And I think, you know, it's all right for Tony Houlihan and all the health chiefs and the politicians. You know, they all still have their big salaries and the expenses. Like, I've lost my job the end of last year, so I'm on 203 a week and very, very worried about finances. Like, that doesn't, and I'm on my own, I have a mortgage, that doesn't even meet my monthly mortgage. So my deficit, like, is as big as the finance, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So would you like and to then, see us exit a little faster, Sarah? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I definitely know. I think they did do the right thing and what was necessary, but it's just gone on far too long. And I think we're all adults. Nobody's going around sneezing, coughing in each other's faces. We know the etiquette, and I understand, obviously, you can't have gigs, you can't have big sports stadiums filled out. But I mean, the supermarket's been open ever since. Like, everybody's queuing up. We're used to that. The physical distance, the staff are great. Everybody's filtered in them now. The garden centres are open. I think it definitely needs to be speeded up slightly.
All right, okay.
I mean, I can't even get voluntary work. I'm applying for jobs all the time. Like, I think I've cried a lot of the time.
Okay.
Because I find the days so, so long. And, you know, if anything happened to me, like, I'm not the worried well. Like, I'm a recovering cancer patient, so I'd be one of the underlying statistics that they're, you know.
Yeah. But you still feel that we can't go on like this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's about giving people a choice because, you know, for those that we call them the worried well, and it is a very, very serious situation, they can stay behind, you know, closed doors and do what they need to do. We just need to carry on living. And I think, you know, it's just 100% focus on COVID. And I don't think there's going to be massive, massive fallout from this between, like, you know, other services in the hospital, mental health.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I there's no argument against it. There is a balancing act here. I don't have the answers to what the right or the wrong of it is, but thank you for that, Sarah. Thank you. Ciara, I fear a second wave in the winter, and we won't have taken the opportunity to trial various approaches to reopening before the winter, so we know how to live safely. Not going out is not a long-term solution to anything. I think schools should have opened for a select group to see the impact. There's a natural end at summer holidays, but scientists could have studied the effects so we could be ready for September. That's from Fiona. Fiona, I know an awful lot of public health doctors who agree with you that the rationale between opening the schools now was like bring back the smallies, maybe senior infants, and bring back sixth class. Just bring back two classes, put them outside as much as possible and work out what works. That's what they wanted to see happen. But so that we had some kind of, I suppose, roadmap for September rather than September landing in and us having learnt very little. Anyway, look, we are where we are. Dave in Cork says, Ciara, how many people die every week from cancer and other diseases in this country? As this figure needs to be weighed up against the number who will unfortunately die every day from COVID, not to omit the mental health issues coming to the fore. And finally, the economic damage, which will adversely affect services in the future through loss of tax revenue. Great show. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, there is, you know, I wrote a piece yesterday in the papers about lockdown and, you know, the analogy I used, and you can take this whatever way you want, is what we are doing now is a little bit like closing every road in Ireland, because last year 141 people tragically lost their lives on the road. It doesn't mean those 141 lives weren't a tragedy, but no one would call for the roads to be closed to stop that, because we understand benefits and risks. And I think that there is a bit of that going on now too for people maybe weighing those things up. Rita says, Ciara, I'm a primary teacher and I know that this notion of homeschooling is just not going to work. Our children need to go back to school, not to play pods, not to half empty classrooms, not to play time, which is 2 metres apart, to normal school life. I'm a bit weary of weeping grannies missing their grandchildren. Stay away from your grandchildren. They need to get back to the normality of school. I, as the responsible adult in the room, will do my best to improve hygiene in the classroom and to ensure hand washing is properly done. But the price our children are paying is too high. And that's from Rita, which is very interesting because Rita is a teacher. Rita, I'm inclined to agree with you, but not everybody is. But thank you for that text. So there are teachers who are clearly keen to get back and are willing to work in the circumstances as they unfold. And Brian is on the line in Dublin. Brian, what do you think needs to be done in relation to restrictions? You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, well, the one thing that seems to be forgotten at the moment is that we are on a trajectory, as with the current restrictions, to eradicate COVID in Ireland. I mean, there are numbers below zero, below one rather, which means it is declining. So I don't. Once we do that, we would be in a position to lift all restrictions within the island of Ireland. The main problem though is importing new cases from outside, and this is why I find it really strange that there has been. I heard Simon Harris talking over the weekend of saying it would be impossible to test at the airports because you'd have to hold people in the airport for a while. And I find it really strange that that isn't being considered, especially as there are now tests being rolled out that have a fairly fast turnaround time. Therefore, the restrictions or the imposition that we'd be putting on incoming travellers would not be that onerous.
True. And there are tests that are quick, but before you have symptoms and before you might have a temperature or before you have any of those things, you could be infectious. And the COVID test itself has quite a high failure rate, people quote, of around 30%. So that's not foolproof. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe that's what he's saying, is it?
Well, that's accepted, but we're not looking for foolproof. I mean, in any test, there's always going to be a degree of false positives and false negatives. But you can then manage that, okay, by having appropriate contact tracing for people when they do come in. And I don't mean the tell us where you're going to be. I actually mean if you're going to come into the country, then you must have the app that allows you to go and track and see exactly where you've been.
Okay.
So I think it's a twofold thing.
Okay. And do you think if we were to do those things, then that would put us in a far greater position, I suppose. And I do agree with you, by the way, about contact tracing. I would go further. In fact, I would say that in my humble opinion, it isn't good enough for the government to be asking us to do all of these things that they are asking us to do while we still don't have like a 12 to 24 hour turnaround in test and trace. And if we don't have that, we know that it is potentially going to lead to a spread and to clusters and all the things that we've seen. And, you know, I also think that mandatory masks, and I said that's going back months, should have been the thing. And that would have actually facilitated probably a 1 metre social distancing that might have saved the health service and the schools and the creches and the hospitality sector. So I think we are getting some things wrong as well as some things right. But you feel that the airport is our Achilles heel?
I think certainly. I mean, now, I'm mindful about the story that regarding the Lanzarote flight mentioned earlier. So I think the testing would actually would probably be better off placed at the point of departure rather than the point of arrival, because then you'd be able to go and sort of avoid one person who is actually positive being on a plane with others and the difficulty that would cause.
Yeah.
So by having people tested at the point of departure by the airlines, and that can be facilitated by the government, that would then allow people to know that, for us to know rather, that the people coming into the country are not going to be likely transmitters.
Yeah, look, we are where we are. I suppose going forward, we need to feel our way and find our way. And thank you for that contribution. Thank you indeed. A text from Paul. Ciara, I was hearing what you were saying about house parties. I live in an apartment and in the block opposite us, there was a huge party going on last night. It was very annoying. I was trying to watch TV from about 8 p.m. until at least midnight when I went to bed. Thankfully, bedroom was on the inner side, so couldn't hear as well. Then zero distancing, lots of shouting and roaring, music blaring. Called the guards twice, gave out yards, but they said they were prioritising who they shut down, as it was bedlam everywhere. Was livid. Feel free to read that out. was it bedlam everywhere? I didn't see any bedlam myself, but maybe I'm not looking in the right places. Where are we going with all of this? 53106. Kira, I'm also a mum of a junior doctor who I haven't been able to see since mid-March. God love you. No early lifting of measures. Please, we need this to go away ASAP, and everyone needs to just comply and be less self-absorbed and keep thinking of the frontline staff. We clapped for them only weeks ago. Are we throwing them to the wolves now? Memories are short when the sun comes out and boredom sets in. Apologies for the rant. It's not really a rant, in fairness to you, but the fear is real and I miss the hugs. I'm sure you do, and very well done to your son or daughter on the front line. Hi Kira, to all the people who say that lockdown doesn't work and the reason we haven't had a massive surge is hand washing and social distancing. Do they really think that the people in Spain and Italy and France and the UK etc. don't wash their hands or maintain social distancing? It is obvious, given the evidence in Ireland and other countries, that lockdown has saved thousands of lives here. And in regard to staying isolated if you have symptoms, there are a vast number of people who are asymptomatic who will spread it. Accelerating or easing the measures will cause a huge surge, and that is the reality. From Jane. We'll take a break. 53106.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.